Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this afternoon's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Maria Collette, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Collette or any of her guests today, you can press star 3, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Maria Collette.
Thank you so much, Hugh, and thank you to all of the area residents that are participating today on the call. I am Senator Maria Collette, and I am holding this live telephone town hall where we'll be discussing unemployment and the coronavirus. And my guests today are the PA Labor and Industry Secretary, Jerry Oleksiak, and I also have on the call today Susan Dickinson, the Benefits Policy Director for Unemployment Compensation. After a brief introduction and update, we'll spend the majority of our time answering your questions. So if you'd like to ask a question at any time, go ahead and press star 3 on your phone. Before we get started, I just wanted to briefly address Governor Wolf's announcement last night that the stay-at-home order will be extended from May 8th to June 4th for the counties that are still in the red zone. Like you, I am frustrated that this announcement was made in a surprise 8 p.m. press release without notice to or input from the state legislators or the communities we represent, and that we are still awaiting guidance from the administration about how this will impact the June 2nd primary election. Though we knew that hard-hit counties like ours would likely be amongst the last to open, please note that this order could still be lifted before that date, which is why I am prioritizing the need for mass testing for nursing home staff and residents. If we can identify cases earlier and at the primary sources, it will go a long way in stopping the spread of our communities and speeding up the reopening process. I will continue to push for that testing in our district and more transparency from the governor's office so that we can move towards a safe, data-driven reopening as soon as possible. But right now, I am really grateful to have Secretary Oleksiak here with us on the call today, and of course, Susan Dickinson as well. So thank you both so much for taking your time to be with us this afternoon. I know that my constituents have a lot of questions for you, so I'd like to give you an opportunity to introduce yourselves and offer a brief update on the unemployment system so that we can get right into questions. Secretary Oleksiak, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and your constituents. I live right outside your district in Montgomery County, so I'm very familiar with the area. Again, thanks for the opportunity. We are facing just unprecedented historic numbers in our unemployment compensation system, and I'd like to put that in perspective with some numbers by comparison. In the 3 weeks before the mitigation efforts were put in place, there were a total of 40,000 new unemployment claims in Pennsylvania. In less than 3 weeks after those mitigation efforts went into place, we went over the million mark. So we went from record low unemployment to record high in a matter of a week or two. Another number that for comparison, at the height of the recession in the 2008, 9, and 10, the highest number of new claims that we had in a year was 960,000 in 2009. And as of this morning, we are at about 1.9 million new claims. So in just the 7 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is, since March 15th, we have seen just these unprecedented numbers. And we have been able to get a lot of dollars out the door. In our traditional system, we've been able to pay out over $4 billion in benefits since March 15th. And in the federal pandemic unemployment compensation system, that's the extra $600, we've paid out almost $2 billion in benefits. So we're at about $6 billion in benefits since March 15th. Now, I know that that's I think, great work on the part of the agency, but I also know that if you're on the wrong side of those statistics, if you are still having trouble getting through or have questions with your claims, then those numbers don't mean anything. And we have done a lot in the system to provide better service. We've brought back 70 retirees that are familiar with the system to answer phones and reply to emails. We've hired 100 new intake interviewers that have been trained and will actually start on Monday to help with those the backlog of emails and the unprecedented number of phone calls we're receiving. We've reassigned people within our agency who have unemployment compensation experience and put them back to work in that area. We're using artificial intelligence and Alexa-type system called the office calls it Paula. I'm not sure why, but it's a virtual assistant that will answer questions that can't direct you to anybody live, but it can answer some of the frequently asked questions that we get. We've updated those regularly on our website. So we've gotten folks from other agencies in the government that are coming in, and we're training and getting them to work. So we have been quite busy. The most recent thing that we did was the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program has gone live, and that is the program that is for people who are traditionally not eligible for unemployment compensation, or people that own their own business, self-employed, depending on the business, but people who are self-employed, people who are 1099 workers or members of the gig economy, independent contractors, under the Federal CARES Act, they are now eligible for unemployment. And Susan and I can get into some of the details on that. So we are administering three parts of the CARES Act, the $600, which people who are receiving benefits, traditional benefits, and the pandemic unemployment benefits will receive the extra $600 weekly. We're doing the pandemic unemployment assistance. And the third part is the extension of benefits, the 13-week extension. And we hope to have that functioning in about 2 weeks. So we've responded as well as we can, given the numbers that we're facing, and I'm proud of the work we're doing, but I know that we still have a lot of work left to do.
Thank you so much, and you're absolutely right. I've had the opportunity to be on some calls with you and your staff trying to figure out how do we navigate this, get the answers that we need for the people in our communities who really want to get the relief that they are seeking and the relief that they need so that they can go about their daily lives. And I have to say that you and your staff have really worked tremendously hard to get those systems up and running, as you said, under an unprecedented number of cases. So I do want to emphasize that constituents are welcome to reach out here during the call. And they are also welcome to reach out to my office with any questions and concerns about unemployment or any other issues that they may be having. We'll do our best to assist you. My staff and I are all working from home during the pandemic, but we are ready to help in any way that we can. You can reach us by email at senatorcollette@pasenate.com. You can also call my office at 215-368-1429. And one of the biggest challenges that our constituents are facing during this crisis is unemployment. As you mentioned, Secretary Oleksiak, there has been an unprecedented number of Pennsylvanians filing for unemployment over the last few weeks. And as you said, our unemployment system has really been struggling to keep up, even as your staff is working around the clock. So we do thank you for those efforts. Many people are filing also for the first time, and they're trying to navigate an unfamiliar system. Some Pennsylvanians are still waiting for their first payments after weeks of unemployment, and there are understandably many questions and concerns and frustrations throughout this process. One of the things that we have really tried very hard to do in my office and with my staff is help people navigate this process, make sure that they're filing for the relief that they are seeking under the proper system. Are they under that pandemic unemployment assistance program, or are they under traditional UC? And so we're probably going to get into a little bit of that discussion back and forth. So I know that we have some constituents on the line who have some questions. As we're queuing those up, I'm just going to start with a few questions that my staff and I have been hearing most frequently. So one of the first ones that we hear pretty often is that, for example, I applied for UC in March, but I still haven't received my PIN or financial determination letter. What should I do?
Susan, can you speak to that?
Sure. So when it comes to claims processing from March, we are pretty much caught up with everything. So it sounds to me as if someone has a claim from March that they're still missing a piece of, it's probably specific to some situation on their claim. One of the reasons I can think of to not have a PIN is if there was an identity verification issue. Even so, we are pretty much caught up to the end of March. So what I would suggest, if someone is seeking a PIN and it's been longer than 3 weeks, if they have internet access, they should go to our website, www.uc.pa.gov, and they should scroll all the way to the bottom of the page where there's a big blue Contact Us button. When you click on Contact Us, there's a page with a lot of contact information for us, and one of those is a PIN resubmit request form. So you just fill out the form, say that you want your PIN, you know, resubmitted, and then we will resubmit it to you. But keep in mind that PINs are unique every time we issue one to you. So if it's not been at least 3 weeks, definitely don't ask for a reset yet, because what might happen is that when we reset it for you, the next day or two you might receive the first one, and then it's not going to be valid anymore. So make sure before you request it from us that it has been at least 3 weeks, because you don't want to get yourself, you know, in that same cycle again. And same with the financial determinations. Those have been caught up, even though at the beginning of the pandemic, we had a big bubble of claims processing and so much mail going out. We've been caught up now with mailing and things like that, standard processing, for the past probably month. So if you're not receiving a financial determination, it might be, again, specific to your information. For example, if you made over $100,000 in your base year, that takes special handling from us, because our system's over 40 years old, and it was not built for people with six-figure salaries. They just, I guess, 40 years old, didn't think anyone would ever make that much money. So that's, you know, just one example of some of the system limitations that we have. Also, if you had any out-of-state wages, we have to ask that other state for your wages and then wait for them to respond to us. So that could be another reason that you don't have a financial determination. So it would generally be something specific to your claim, only because when it comes to the across-the-board type of backlogs, we've been caught up for a few weeks now.
Great. Thank you so much, Susan. I really appreciate that. And that's Susan Dickinson. She is the Benefits Policy Director for UC. I think we have some live questions that are coming up. As Hugh gets those going in the queue for us, I'm going to just go on to one other question here that's been submitted ahead of time. So someone writes, I submitted a successful PUA application and went to file my weekly claims, and it said, quote, not fully unemployed. How can this be, and what should I do?
So what the system is looking at, when it looked at someone's last day of work to set the effective date of the claim, a lot of times it sets it, so say your last day of work was a Friday, it sets it to that week, which doesn't make a lot of sense because that was your last week working. So that's why that issue pops up. And that's just something as part of our vendor's product. So what we're doing is, like, everyone who filed yesterday who had that issue, tonight we're just we're doing what's called auto-adjudicating. Normally, if an issue needs adjudication, you know, it involves an examiner speaking with you, speaking with your employer. That's not this situation. So we can just automatically approve those and send them through. So those will go through, and then you'll be able to, if there were any weeks that you weren't able to file for the biweekly claims, you'll be able to go ahead and do that for the rest of the weeks. For the not totally unemployed, a lot of people were getting that just because that first week you were still working. And it was really, you know, Friday when a lot of people had their last day.
Great. Thank you so much. I do want to acknowledge, I think we're ready to start going to our live questions, and I did want to acknowledge that State Representative Tom Mert is also on the call today. I know he's been doing an incredible job trying to make sure that he is communicating with his constituents just as much as he can to get them to the answers that they need. So I am thankful to have him as a partner in our state legislature and here in the district as well. Hugh, I think we're ready to go to our first live question.
We are. In fact, we have State Representative Tom Murdaugh on the line. I can bring him on and we can go from there. Okay?
Absolutely.
State Representative, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and guests.
Good afternoon, Senator Collette. Good afternoon, Secretary Olziak and staff. Senator Collette, I know you have, I'm a constituent also as well as a colleague, but I just wanted to take a minute. I don't have a question, just a comment. I want to just acknowledge and recognize your staff and you personally for the outstanding job that you have been doing working on so many of these unemployment claim benefits that are called into your office and they're called into my office too. It's been a great honor and privilege to work with you and your staff and someone in Harrisburg, we communicate with them every day, and they were just saying, I believe that your office is the busiest Senate office in the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and I'm sure you get many calls from constituents that do not live within your senatorial district, and I know that you help them, and I just wanted to acknowledge that because your accomplishments in this area and the many other things that you do on the constituent service side are just most commendable, and the work that your staff does is a great reflection of your leadership in that area. And I just wanted to say that it needs to be acknowledged. I also want to thank Secretary Olziak for the great job that they're doing. We, of course, the demand on our unemployment claim system is unprecedented, and we are doing the very, very best we can. And all of this, all of our elected officials intervene to the best of our ability to help families that need these benefits to pay their bills, to care for their children, to buy medications and so forth. And I have found that whenever we have engaged with LNI that they are prompt with a follow-up, and they're also compassionate with the follow-up, and they listen to the details of our inquiries and so forth. And I just wanted to both recognize and thank you, Senator Collette, and your staff, as well as Secretary Olziak and his staff. So keep up the great work, and there's better days ahead.
Thank you so much, Representative Murt. And the feeling is mutual, and I am so glad that you were able to come on the call to tell the Secretary and his staff what a great job they're doing, because they really are working, as I said, around the clock, and I know there is a tremendous need in our Commonwealth, and I'm happy to have you there, Secretary, to step up and meet that challenge.
Thank you. Thank you both. I appreciate that, and I will share your comments with our staff, Representative Murt. It's an honor to be a constituent of yours. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice talking with you, Representative. Thanks for being on the call.
Thank you, Representative. And Senator, before I go further, I just want to remind those who may have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Collette or any of her staff or any of her guests today, you can press *3, that's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, let's go to Cheryl. Cheryl, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and guests.
Hi,
Cheryl.
Hi, everybody. Hi. I'm an independent contractor, and I was able to file recently. And it tells me to go on biweekly and, you know, put the PIN number in everything, but I haven't been given a PIN number yet. How do I know that it's being processed versus lost in the horizon there? Because, you know, no one's answering the phone or emails, so I'm having a hard time with where it went.
Yeah, Susan can answer that. On the PUA system, there are no pins. It's a more updated system. Susan?
Sure. So it sounds like you are, you know, trying to navigate the regular UC system as opposed to PUA. So what may have happened, because PIN numbers are just automatically generated by the system. They themselves don't take any manual intervention at all. So if you said you're an independent contractor. So if you had put in your home address and it matches your business address, that would be a reason why the system holds it up. And the reason is because under normal circumstances, the non-pandemic circumstances, what we normally do is give people a courtesy call and say, hey, do you realize you know, that you have your addresses matched, so you're self-employed, so you probably won't qualify for UC. And then a lot of people withdraw their claim at that point, or will process it to them if they want it still. Anyway, so now in the pandemic, that of course isn't possible for us to call everybody. So the system still holds it up. So what's going to happen if that's the situation you're in is at some point.
That isn't, though.
Okay.
My home address is not where I'm working out of.
Okay. Well, then that's good. Then that means that it would have gone through and you would be receiving that PIN at some point. Now, if the situation is that you don't have any wages on wage record, on Pennsylvania wage record, so you don't have any type of employment where you have yourself or someone reporting wages for you every quarter, you're going to end up being ineligible anyway, and then you would file for the PUA program. And as the secretary mentioned, there's no PINs or anything for PUA. What it is it's a login, just like a bank or something like that online. It's just a username and a password that you create, and then you'd be able to file for that program and start collecting benefits on that program.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Sorry.
Senator, we'll go back. No problem. Well, we'll go back to the callers. Let's go to Arlene. Arlene, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and Guest.
All right.
Hi, Arlene.
I filed on the computer, and then after I got a letter about my PIN number, but I was having a direct deposit. When I looked at my statement, it just said Treasury. I wasn't sure if that was my tax return or my UC benefits. It just said Treasury. And also, I never used my PIN number when I first filed. Do I have to file more than once? Do I have to go on the computer every week?
Correct. So with regular unemployment, it's every 2 weeks, and with PUA, it's every week. So the way, I'll give a brief synopsis of the unemployment process. So the way it works is I compare it to, you know, being hired for a job for the first time. So you're hired, you start your first day, you go in, you get your badge, you fill out your paperwork, you do all that preparation material, and then you work for 2 weeks, and then you submit a timesheet, and then you get paid. So unemployment is the same type of a thing. So when you open your claim, that's the preparation time. That's the time for you to give us information we need. That's the time for us to then send you a PIN and send you any other paperwork that you may need. And then comes the weeks of unemployment. So after you're unemployed for 2 weeks, if we're talking about regular unemployment, because it's biweekly, at that point, you then submit your continuing claim to us saying, hey, I was unemployed those 2 weeks, so I'm ready for payment now. So then we issue your payment and it takes a couple days to get to you. So that's a comparison that's pretty accurate. So what you have to do then throughout your claim is every 2 weeks you certify using the biweekly filing method. You certify to us that you were unemployed for those weeks. If at all you work, all you do is you report your gross earnings to us. So if you ended up working, 10 hours, you would report 10 hours worth of gross earnings to us, and we would deduct that from your weekly benefit amount if it was deductible based on the amount. So that's kind of the basic process of how unemployment works. So yes, you would need to go in and continue doing that in order to receive your payments. Now back to your first question about whether it's Treasury, whether it's us or not. For us, it will say Pennsylvania Treasury, well, PA Treasury. So that's how you know it's us when you do look at your statements.
So I have to keep on filing?
Correct. Yep, every 2 weeks.
Okay. The other thing about it was, thank you for taking the call. The other thing about it was, it asked me if I had another employer, and I said no, and then it kept on asking me if I have another employer. So I put down the same employer because it kept asking me. It wasn't going any further. And so I put down the same employer that I had put down originally as being my other employer, and then it finally took it. So something was wrong with that system.
Yeah, that actually comes from the question. There was a question right before it that asked if you've made, I forget the amount right now. It's like $3,000 some
dollars. Yeah, $3,000, yeah.
So if you say no to that question, it will want to know who your older employer is. Now, that question itself is confusing because all we're looking to see is that you've made that amount of money from your employer ever, like not in a week, not in a month, but ever. If you worked there for 30 years, did you make $3,666? So we actually just did some updates to our initial application. I guess that was this week. The weeks are running together quickly to explain to people what we're looking for there. So we hope that that alleviates some of the problem. And the reason we ask in the first place is just unemployment law. If you haven't made six times your weekly benefit amount with your current employer, we have to continue looking back to your employers until we find one that is six times your weekly benefit amount. And we have to check all of your separations for all of your employers in that line. So that's just it gets into the weeds, but that's the reason.
So I have
we
to file on the computer every 2 weeks. I have to file every
yes,
2 weeks
correct.
On the computer.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for taking my
thank
call.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you so much, Hugh.
Okay. We'll move to our next caller. Senator, we're going to go to Sandra. Sandra, go ahead. Go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and guests.
Hi, Sandra.
Thank you, Senator Collette and esteemed colleagues. I'm appreciating this service. It's incredible. I'm looking ahead. I'm retired, but I'm looking at the news and what's happening in Georgia where people are, the governor says, you know, it's time to go back to work, and I think rightfully so, people are concerned. And if they don't go back to work, they lose their job and they lose their unemployment. Looking ahead to June 8th or beyond that, if people are in a situation where their health is fragile or they have someone at home whose health is fragile and they feel that they shouldn't go back to work at that time, do they lose their unemployment? Do they lose their job? I'm hoping the same shenanigans won't happen here in Pennsylvania.
I'll start to answer, and Susan, please jump in. But there are parts of the CARES Act that do address that. But basically what it comes down to is that there's no single answer, that every case, it depends on the specific facts in your situation. Is your employer providing the proper PPE if necessary and accommodating the appropriate social distancing? Are you high risk because of other maybe a pre-existing condition? Do you have a doctor's note? Do you have people in your family that are impacted by this? So there's a lot of very specific information that determines when you are called back to work and you have those concerns, what options you have. Pennsylvania is an at-will state, which means that unless you are a member of a collective bargaining unit, the employer, you're an employee at will, and there are a lot of rights, but that the employer has. But with the COVID-19 situation, it's a little different. Susan, can you expand on that some?
Sure. When it comes to any type of refusal of work or, you know, turning down work hours, it really is on an individual basis, and we will look to see that someone has just cause. So if someone in your household is, you know, susceptible to this virus and, you know, you show that to us or you explain that to us, then, you know, most likely that is a reason why you, like a good reason why you would not have to go back to work. So it is on a case-by-case basis, and it will largely depend on the information that the individual is able to provide to us when we're examining their claim. One of the important points we try to make is if you're asked to go back to work and you don't feel that it's safe or you feel there's something wrong, you really need to address it with your employer first. You can't really just back out. You have to give your employer the chance to correct it. So, you know, reach out to them, especially in writing. This would be very good to do in writing and then be able to apply that to us. Reach out to them in writing and express your concerns and ask for a resolution. And maybe they will be able to do a resolution. Maybe they didn't realize the concerns, or, you know, if they don't and they say, too bad, then, you know, that would be the information and the proof that you would want to supply to us. Last week, while I was on some conference calls, I was looking at my neighbor's house across the street. They were getting a new roof. And I guarantee not a single one of those seven guys jammed on that little roof had on any type of mask or anything. And if I were a claimant working for that that roofing company, I would have absolutely taken a photo of that and sent it in with my unemployment claim. They were not practicing social distancing or anything. So, you know, it all comes down to the person's individual situation, that they have a serious reason why they should not return, and then just being able to demonstrate that to us.
Thank you so much for that response. Yeah, it's something that we've heard from constituents.
I was going to say quickly that I think an education program at that time will be incredibly important so that people understand these details. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you.
Okay. Senator, ready to go to another call?
Indeed, yes. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to Stephanie. Stephanie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and guests.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, how are you? I applied for unemployment like the end of March, like March 27th, and I still haven't received it. And it said it, I did the card first, and then I did direct deposit. And it said it went, my account was active, but I haven't seen the money yet. And I'm a special ed teacher, so I stopped working like that Friday. And my company only paid us for like 2 weeks, and then they cut us off after that. So how do I do that? Like, do I call them or email, or what do I do?
So what you could do is try to actually the one method that I like, that I would like, if you know, if I needed to contact us, is live chat. If you have access, online access, we have a live chat feature, and we just expanded the hours, so it's available from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. And based on the information that you gave, I'm going to guess that because you're a teacher, your claim is probably waiting for an adjudicator to examine it and see if you have reasonable assurance. And I won't get into the whole the whole thing with reasonable assurance. It gets into the details, but basically, you know, when teachers are on a salary and they're paid all year long, the reasonable assurance section of our law doesn't allow them to collect unemployment for times when school is out, simply because it's, you know, part of their natural process to just receive a salary all year. So of course, in the pandemic, that's not quite the same. And so, you know, you would be potentially eligible, but of course the system doesn't know that. All it does is it says, oh, here's an adjudicator, so we have to examine this claim. So once an examiner looks at it, you know, as long as you're off due to COVID-19 reasons, you know, I'm sure there'll be no issue. It's just a matter of processing. So if you wanted someone to, and you would be on a list that we are getting to, but of course it is taking time to get to everyone. So if you were concerned and wanted to reach out, then I do recommend using the live chat feature. And of course there is always the phone, and I always say, you know, Thursdays and Fridays are better than Mondays. Also there's email. The email takes a long time for us to get to right now, but we're having 100 more people start helping us next week. So our email online should be a little bit better.
Yeah, they said with the online, they said it will take about 37 days to get back to me with an email. So that's how backed up they are.
Right. Yeah, that's why we're getting that extra 116 people next week.
Okay. So yeah, I just have to wait it out until I see something, I guess.
Yes, but like I said, if you want to just, you know, verify or make sure, you can just get a hold of us through chat is best.
And should I keep on filing until I see the money in there? Like try, like my next time
definitely.
To file is this Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. And that way, when someone does get to your situation and they review it, they're able to then make all of the payments at once. So definitely keep filing.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Stephanie, so much.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you. Q, who's next?
Senator, we're going to go to Tom. Tom, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and guests.
Thank you, Senator Collette and Secretary Oziak and Susan for taking my question. I have a really unique situation. I have been on involuntary quarantine for 3 weeks by order of the county. My wife has already had COVID-19 and she's recovered, but I was wondering if there was any way I could file for this 3 weeks after the fact.
Yes, you can. So if you can qualify for regular unemployment, I would suggest filing for regular unemployment first. It's actually a federal directive to the states that if someone can qualify for regular unemployment first, you need to pay that and then consider PUA only if they don't qualify. So I recommend filing our regular unemployment claim. And then, you know, we can backdate that to the weeks when you were affected. And then you'd be able to get paid for those weeks.
Okay, great. My real source of concern was that I haven't been unemployed by order of my company. It was by order of the county.
Right. It wouldn't make a difference, really. What we're looking for is just that it wasn't you initiating it.
So okay, it was great.
Some other outside entity, yeah, that you didn't have control over.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you so much for your time. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay, Senator, we're going to move to Denise. Denise, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and Guest.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate all your hard work and the chance to take my call. I had just recently, I applied for the PUA coverage. I'm a home-based travel agent as well as doing some logistic work for the meeting and event business. So everything has been, of course, affected. I was just approved financially eligible for the PUA coverage. My question is, again, when I filed, of course, since everything has drastically affected the travel industry, and since I continue to assist my clients with basically, you know, dismantling, canceling, trying to get refunds, and, of course, watching any income go out the door, which I would then no longer be applicable. My question is, though, when I go to file, in April 20th, I received some residual that was left, and it was an amount of maybe equaling $300 a week or $1,200. For May, where I was compared to my original bookings, I might have a $500 check coming in on May 20th because I am compensated once a month. I just didn't know how during the process each week to certify how I would break that down. If anyone could give me some direction there.
When it comes to continued claim filing, as opposed to, you know, opening the claim, so you get to the biweekly filing or weekly, it's PUA. What we do with earnings is we deduct them, and they're based on the week that you earned them. So if you're simply receiving a check for something you did, say, 2 months ago or 3 months ago or even 4 months ago, the fact that you're receiving a check is irrelevant. Like you wouldn't report that to us. What we need you to report to us is earnings that you actually earned during a given week. So so if it is for a time period that's, you know, outside of when you were filing weeks for PUA, you don't need to report that at all. But if you do any type of work at this point, even if it's just an hour here, 2 hours there, you would just report that, and you would have to be the one to kind of figure out what that time is worth, you know, because we take, you know, the report in dollar amounts and in gross dollars. So you would kind of have to know. I had a real estate agent reach out to me with the same question, and she was saying, like, you know, we get our payments monthly, and how do you want me to break this down? And I said, well, I can't really tell you how, you know, how you would have worked that month if you did work that month. You know, you're just going to have to kind of figure it out when it comes to your work hours and what they would have been. And but in general, I can at least advise you that it's when the work is performed, that's when we need to know about it for deduction purposes. So just try to figure it out based on your calendar, like the best you can go back and figure out, and then report it only when it's earned.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I just have one other quick question. We have another constituent. My partner is here. He is also self-employed. And the figures on his confirmation are off. So he did submit an appeal. So he's pretty much figured out what happened. The self-employment income was, it was based on one quarter versus a year. Even though he appealed, should he still continue to certify each week? I mean, the amount was, I think, the minimal, which we know is not correct. So should he continue to just move forward, start the process under the UPA this week or PUA this week, and then wait for the appeal to catch up and be adjusted moving forward?
Correct. So what he wants to do is just keep filing normally and even receiving payments. I mean, even if it's a lower amount, he can receive those payments until the time that additional wages are added or his financial determination is changed. And then if he's owed more money, the system will make supplements to him. And I actually find stuff like this very exciting because in our current UC system, this would be something that has to go to a person, then we have to get you on a list, blah, blah, blah. But our new system is a lot smarter than that, and it does these things automatically. So as soon as a monetary protest is what they call it, a monetary protest is resolved, it will actually flow through the system and issue the payments if they're warranted.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, Denise.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next, Hugh?
Senator, we're going to go to Dina. Dina, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and guests.
Hi, Dina.
Hi, thank you. I had a question about people who were unemployed prior to COVID-19 and were not collecting unemployment, and now they're doing things like Instacart or DoorDash. Do they qualify for the stimulus money?
You mean the federal stimulus money, Dina, the $1,200?
Or anything. What do they qualify for? Do they qualify for any of the unemployment benefits or anything?
Yeah, Susan, you can speak to that, I think.
It depends on the specific situation, but if they're receiving any less money than they were, they're working less than they were before, then they could qualify for an unemployment benefit. And if they are, you know, self-employed or like we say a gig worker where they're, you know, working for Uber or something like that, then, you know, that will likely end up being a PUA claim. When in doubt, someone should file a regular UC claim. But the PUA program is then also available if it turns out they're not eligible for regular UC.
Okay, so PUA is what it is?
Right. If they go to our website, www.uc.pa.gov, there's buttons there for file an initial claim, file a biweekly claim, and file for PUA. So the initial claim is just regular UC, and then PUA takes you to a PUA page where that's the program type. And there is a ton of information on our website if they want to read more about it just to see what they might be eligible for. And when it comes to the PUA claim, the application up front has like a little wage checker in the beginning. And if someone tries to file for PUA and the system detects that they have enough wages that they might qualify for regular UC, it won't let them proceed. It'll tell them to go qualify or to go apply for regular UC. So at worst, even though I'm recommending filing for UC first, if they wanted to just check that and see if they had enough wages on file or if they think they don't have enough wages on file, they can try PUA and see if it kicks them out. And if it doesn't kick them out, they can keep on going. But if it says file for UC, then you go file for UC.
Okay, so
thank you so much, Dina.
Hello?
Dina? Hi there, Dina. I just want to make sure we have just a few more minutes with the secretary and the director, and I want to make sure we get in as many questions as we can. Our staff will follow up with you if there are further questions beyond what you were able to ask the secretary and director on the call. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dina, thank you for the call. Senator, let's go to Mary Ann. Mary Ann, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and guests.
Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is regarding start dates. So I stopped working sometime the first half of March, and I work for a very small company. I applied for unemployment April 13th. That might sound weird, but we were trying to desperately go the Paycheck Protection Program route. I did not want to go on unemployment. So that's the delay there. When that became an entire nightmare and I realized that we weren't either assured of getting anything, our bank actually declined even processing the loan, I had to apply for unemployment. I did put on my application what my last working day was, and I got my PIN. Everything went smoothly except that I could only apply for the week that I submitted the claim, which was April 13th, and then the following week. Is there any, and then I got my notice of financial determination yesterday, May 7th, and it said that I had the right to appeal the start date, but I had to appeal it by May 1st. Obviously, that has already passed. So I'm wondering, is there any way that I can reset my start date?
Yes, all you would have to do is send us a message, and you can actually just do that in an email, even though it is taking about a month for us to get back to emails right now. We're about to have more than 100 people help us starting next week, so we're going to get through those faster. But all you would have to do is tell us, you know, which start date it is that you want to use. You would put, you know, my last day of work was. And then give the date.
Yeah, I already wrote the email,
and then we're
so
able,
that's about
able,
all we can. I'm sorry, I already wrote the email, so that's it then? There's nothing else? Do I have to go through the formal appeal process, which is the...
The appeal dates right now are being waived by at least, like, 2 weeks. They are... What you can do if you just want to be safe is file an appeal, and that'll bring it to their attention just to make sure, you know, that it's in there. If you've sent us the email already, of course, that also has that date stamped, so we can see when it is
that
you need to
request. Oh, that would act as that? Okay, that would be in substitute for
that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is a spot on our website where you can submit a web form to file an appeal. So you'd be able to do that just to make sure. But you know, our regulations give us allowances up to 6 weeks back to backdate a claim under normal circumstances if someone can't get through to us. So, you know, you should be fine. As long as you send us the information, we'll be able to take care of it.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Marianne.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Hugh, I think
Marianne,
we might have time for one more person.
We do. We're going to go
Great.
To Ty. Ty, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and Guest.
Hi, Ty.
Hello, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I got a question for my wife just came over this country. She is live here permanently and permanent green card legally. She started working beginning of the year, and now she got the company got laid her off. And are she eligible for unemployment or not?
She just started working at the beginning of the year. It sounds like she would be eligible for PUA. So you can just go straight to that application. You don't need to file for regular unemployment. Go straight to the PUA application on our website, www.uc.pa.gov. And it'll have you, you know, choose a login name, a password, and then you fill out all the questions. And she probably doesn't have a large wage history since she just started working here. So she will probably qualify for the minimum amount, which is $195 a week. And then for right now, as part of the CARES Act, she'll also get an additional $600 a week on top of the $195. That is the FPUC payment, because that's active for weeks April 4th, weekend in April 4th, through weekending July 25th. So for all of those weeks, everyone gets the bonus $600 on top of it.
Okay. But quick question. Once you file a claim, I mean, I file a claim for her, will she be initially when the day of her layoff is, when like the 13th of March, or should it be start today, or what's going to be covered?
It'll ask for her last day of work. So once you put in the last day of work, it'll set it to that week. So if that was, you know, March 13th, that'll be the week that it sets the claim to.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Hugh, I think we can, we have time for someone else.
Yep, we can do a couple more here, Senator. We'll go to Jim. Yep, we can go to Jim. Jim, go ahead, you're live with Senator Collette and Guest.
Hi there, how's it going? Thanks for doing this, this is great. I've been helping my sister with her unemployment because she has a bit of a disability, and but she's been gainfully employed for over 20 years, and just before the whole COVID crisis hit, she changed jobs on her own decision to a brand new job, only worked at the new place for 2 weeks, and then became unemployed because of the, you know, layoffs, and everyone got furloughed. She got her first payment on April 24th from the unemployment agency, and we didn't get the $600 yet that we were expecting to get, and also hasn't received any additional payments to date. So we're just curious if we've done something wrong or what else can we do.
All right, so I quickly ran over to my calendar just to see. So April 24th was a Friday.
Yep.
So actually, she should have received that by now. Normally, and I'll just put this out there, the $600 FCUC payments are not made at the same time as regular payments. They
right.
are made a week later about. Now, the other thing that might be at issue, it does depend on which week she was paid for. So if it was a week prior to week ending April 4th, there is no FCUC payment. If the
okay.
week she was paid for is April 4th and later, then it will get an FCUC payment.
Okay. Well, I think she was working just up to April, and then she was unemployed after that. So after April 4th, for sure. But we didn't know if she filed for normal unemployment. Should she have filed for the PUA also?
No, as long as she received the payment, then that means it sounds like she qualified for UC. So that would be the right place for her to be. So she'll be able to collect all of the weeks of UC, depending on if she got anywhere from 18 to 26. And once those weeks are done, then there's an additional 13 weeks. Another part of the CARES Act called the PEUC that will be tacked on to the end of that. So it'll be like a total of up to 39 weeks, depending on how long her regular UC claim is.
Okay, and if she doesn't get these payments, what should she do?
You can contact us via either live chat on our website or sending an email. That might be the best way. And that way, you know, you're not trying to dial over and over and over to get us on the phone. But if she did prefer, you know, reaching us by phone, you can do that as well. You know, depending on the situation, there's really no situations where we're not issuing that payment.
Okay.
So, you know, if there was some reasons, you know, there's very few reasons. It's like, you know, if all the money was deducted for you know, child support or something like that, we even still make the payment. So,
and should she be expecting payments weekly or biweekly? How does it work?
For regular UC, it's biweekly. Yeah. And
bi-weekly.
Then the FTUC payments are also biweekly the other week. So if I file for 2 weeks of unemployment on Sunday and I get my 2 weeks on Wednesday, I should expect my two $600 payments the following Wednesday.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we haven't gotten the $600 for sure. I help manage her money too, so and I can tell she hasn't received that yet. So I just wanted to see what we can do. So if we don't receive that $600 probably by next week, then something is blocking it for some reason, right?
Right. Yeah, and I'm not aware of any issues happening, any widespread issues. So that would be important for us to know, not just, of course, to get you your money, but if there is some sort of issue happening, we'd want to know and resolve that for everyone.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for answering my question. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
All right, Senator, we have time. We can do another one if you like.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to go to Luciana. Luciana, go ahead. You're live with Senator Collette and Guest.
Hi, Luciana.
Hi. Thank you so much for this service. I really appreciate it. I am a consider myself a last responder. I work for a funeral parlor, and my age, I'm 78 years old, and I work as a contractor, probably like under a 1099 situation. I want to know, can I get into this PUC program, or what's available to me? Because of my age, they really don't want me around the removals we take in, because a lot of these people are victims of this the COVID-19. So is there any possibility I could be in that program?
Yes, you would qualify for the PUA program. So that's available online, but we also are starting a call center for it next week. As soon as that call center is set up, we're going to make sure everybody has the phone number. We're going to advertise that press release and make sure everyone gets the word out. And then what the main thing that you're going to have to give us when you file your claim is your earnings for 2019. We'll ask for them broken out quarterly. So if you just go back to your 1099 and go back to your schedule and kind of figure out what you made January through March, April through June, et cetera, that will be what you tell the person on the phone, or if you want to do it online, you can enter it online as well.
Okay. Can you? I'll have to get somebody to assist me with the online situation because I'm not very astute there. Can you tell me what the address of the online would be?
Yeah, sure. Actually, Lucia, I was going to say, if you want to call our office, one of my constituent services people can help you. Do you have a pen? I'll give you my office number, and then they'll help you go through it. They'll help you walk through it.
Okay, fine. I appreciate that.
Sure. Ready? It's 215.
Yep. 215-368. 1429. Any extension I should ask? Go ahead.
That's it. You'll just leave a message at that number because we are out of the office, and every hour we check those messages and someone will get back to you, and we'll be sure to help you navigate that.
Thank you so much, and good health.
Thank you. You too, Luciana, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
Okay, Senator, we're coming down the home stretch. I know you have some concluding remarks for those that have joined us this afternoon.
I do. I wanted to thank everybody for participating today in this telephone town hall discussion. It's really been an incredible conversation. And to those who listened in, to those who shared their opinions, to those who asked questions, we really appreciate you being part of this. Thank you, of course, to Secretary Oleksiak and Director Susan Dickinson for being part of our call as well. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to be with us. Please keep up the good work. I know it's very difficult. It's a very difficult time for all of us, so we so appreciate the hard work that you're doing to help get people the relief that they need here. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. If you have additional questions or concerns, you can email me at senatorcolette@pasenate.com. You can call my office. That number again is 215-368-1429. You can also visit my website at senatorcolette.com/coronavirus to get all of the latest information. And we also have links to those websites that Director Dickinson was talking about. So thank you all for being here. Thank you so much, Secretary Oleksiak and Director Dickinson. I so appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Goodbye, everyone. Stay well and stay healthy. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator, for your special guest today. Thank you to everyone who had joined us, and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.